Welcome back in everyone to a fabulous new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We are continuing our coverage of the Fresh Fruit Festival this year, which is a wonderful festival. You need to come out and check it out. It's happening April 22nd through May 5th at the Wild Project. You can get your tickets and more information by visiting freshfruitfestival.com. On today's show, we are so, so excited to be welcoming back an amazing director, Abby Davis, who's here to talk to us about two pieces she's directed in the festival, The Man Who Killed Bigfoot, playing April 26th and 28th, and Out, playing May 4th and 5th. We adore Abby and all the work she does and she's done. We recently spoke to her about No Entrance, which was part of the Neurodivergent New Play series. And so we're excited to have her back with these two great shows. So why don't we just dive right in and welcome back our guest, Abby. Welcome back to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you so much for having me back. It's so good to be here today.
I'm so excited. And you're coming to us with two works. These are two of the three works like you've got on the stovetop right now, because of course you've got another piece in the Lighthouse series. But today we're here to talk about your Fresh Fruit Festival works, which are The Man Who Killed Bigfoot and Out. You know, you gotta make sure you put that pause in there, or it could be really weird. But why don't we start by having you tell us a little bit about these shows?
Absolutely. So these two plays, one is a one act and the other is I'll say a one act as well. It's an extension of what was once a 10-minute play. And they're both by playwrights that I consider close collaborators and friends. So we're really excited to be able to put them up at Fresh Fruit this year. So yeah, I'll start with The Guy Who Killed Bigfoot by Courtney Taylor, who is also the playwright for No Entrance. Yeah, it's essentially centering on Kennedy, who is a trans man in his 20s, who I think it's 6 years ago at this point in the play, shot Bigfoot and killed Bigfoot, went viral for it, and is then tracked down unexpectedly by his ex, who was once a part of a cryptid hunting cult. So there's a lot to unpack there, but it's really fun and also a piece that we've been working on since last summer. So it's really, really wonderful to see it fully staged at this point. And Out by Matt Morse. He is the playwright for the piece that we have up with the Lighthouse series at Soho Playhouse. This play is newer and yeah, began as a 10 minute that's been expanded upon and is kind of a one act now. And it essentially covers the story of two high school, it's a high school relationship essentially. And one is like a baseball star named Kyle, and he's forced to essentially choose between his love for baseball and his love for his boyfriend, Ryan, because Cal has recently come out and he's just sort of navigating the struggles that presents when it happens in high school. So yeah, it's a really fun slate of productions that we're working on at Fresh Fruit.
Wow, two incredible pieces. I mean, listening to you describe them, the Bigfoot one, I literally was like, there's a lot of words coming at me that I'm like, wait, what? And the Outs play, I mean, that has got to be relatable for so many people, not just probably here in New York, but really across the country. How was it that you came upon these pieces?
Yeah. So, I mean, it really began with, I'll start with Out. So Matt and I have been working together for, I want to say about 6 years now. So a lot of his new work development, I have been involved in some capacity, just whether it's, you know, a short play that we're mounting at a festival or it's something that we worked on in college together. And so, yeah, this is a play that received its first production at the Secret Theater back in, my timeline is messed up, but I'm going to say February, March of this year. So yeah, this is just, it's super exciting to be able to expand upon it and bring it to Fresh Fruit and more people. So yeah, it's a piece that's very early in its development, but Matt is, you know, centers his writing on queer storytelling and, you know, stories that are, I think he self-describes as like Midwestern hearted, or so, I'm butchering that, I'm sure, but they're stories about people from anywhere. Like it's not just, yeah, specific to, you know, something that somebody may experience in a city like New York. Like prejudice and bias exist everywhere. So it's like, how do these characters, you know, react to that in, say, like a Midwestern town. So I think Out really captures that, and it is just, yeah, it's very early in its development. As far as Bigfoot goes, that's what I'm abbreviating it to. Bigfoot actually began in the form of a staged reading at one of our actors' theater companies called Apartment Players last summer. So Apartment Players is run by Henry Germanski, who is in both pieces, both Bigfoot and Out. He's a close collaborator of mine. And Courtney wrote this play as a part of sort of an anthology reading on the stages of grief. And so this was, you know, this began as a piece that was commissioned for that on the stage of acceptance. And it received another reading with the Makers Ensemble in March. Again, my dates are all, I don't know, all over the place. So I don't know. It happened this spring. And so this is the first time that it's going to be staged. And we've kept the entire team all the way through. So it's really wonderful to be able to, you know, reconvene with this creative team in a different capacity this time.
That's fantastic. Well, as we are just about 2 weeks away at the time of this recording of these shows premiering, I'm curious to know what has it been like developing them?
It's been wonderful. I mean, these have been kind of quick processes. Like it's always like we'll get an offer and kind of have to assemble everything really quickly. So sometimes it's bare bones, but we get as much as we can out of it. I'm working with actors and playwrights and stage managers who I have worked with before, and I just, you know, we have a really, you know, mutual understanding as to how everybody works best, and we trust each other. So it's really fun getting to, you know, come together in a rehearsal space and create something together. And even just kind of going back to what you were talking about with like Fresh Fruit being sort of in like a little bit more of an intimate space, or a Fresh Fruit Festival, you know, presents the opportunity for productions to receive sort of an intimate staging at the Wild Project. We've definitely been, you know, approaching that in rehearsals with, you know, both of these plays are just two actors. And so we've really been kind of honing in on like, how can we create moments of intimacy that are sweet and kind and gentle? And it's like, it's just really magical to get to, you know, see that come to life, especially for Bigfoot, because it's been a long time in the making. For the two other times that we've worked on this piece, it's just been reading the text, which is, you know, wonderful in its own right, but to be able to like finally get it up on its feet is really just so fulfilling, and I'm so excited.
Well, that sounds so wonderful, though. I love all that. And I kind of want to snowball off of that. And I want to ask, you know, what is the message or the thought you are hoping that audiences take away from both The Man Who Killed Bigfoot and Out?
Yeah, so I think I think they are similar in a couple of different ways. I'm going to start this sentence over. I think they're really similar in a few ways, but also, you know, there are different takeaways that are attached to each piece. I think, particularly for Out, Matt's mission in writing a lot of his pieces have been, you know, subverting, you know, conventions or rather subverting expectations or tropes that are like commonly, you know, found in queer storytelling, and, you know, trying to make an impact from that angle. And so I think that is absolutely, you know, what's happening with Out. And I think that, you know, if people are able to sort of walk away with, you know, this story that's about like hardship and one's youth, hardship with love and identity, just sort of walking away with like, I don't know, greater acceptance, but also just sort of, you know, a sense of empathy for, you know, what it's like to embark on, you know, one's queer journey at different points in their life. So I hope that that's something that really resonates with the Fresh Fruit audiences. And it's also just such a tender story and staging, or at least I hope. And no, I think that'll touch people too in many ways. So I'm excited for that to be received. As far as Bigfoot goes, it's similar in those senses for sure, but you know, it's also about grief, right? Like, I think we think about grief in a way that's, you know, super, you know, it's super personal and it's always painful because it is something that we're experiencing because of the loss of somebody that we know super well. But it's like, how do you grieve for, I think what Bigfoot, the question that Bigfoot presents is like, what does grief look like in a very specific lens, which is grief that, you know, one has for an old identity or perceived identity and the loss of life that is meaningful for other people. And I'm contextualizing this with like Kennedy, our protagonist in this, hadn't transitioned at the time in which he, you know, killed Bigfoot. So it's like we see Kennedy 6 years later, like what all has changed in that period of time? Like what is Kennedy grieving as far as like what memories hold? And like, I don't know, it's a very sweet story at the end of the day, but it's also like it's bittersweet because it's Kennedy is having to sort of grapple with like what all has changed in 6 years and how can he forgive himself for doing something that happened 6 years ago. It's a and, but yeah, but like I think it's still a very funny story, and I hope that, you know, people will walk away with sort of an interest in how we can tell these, you know, queer stories in new and interesting ways, and ones that make us laugh but also cry.
Oh, that's so lovely. I love those thoughts. For my final question of this first part, I'm very excited to know who you hope have access to these two pieces.
Absolutely. So I think, you know, because this is the Fresh Fruit Festival and it's like made like mostly, you know, queer led, like queer stories, absolutely like want to invite like those communities to come out and to experience these pieces because just in what I know of like the rest of the festival, it really just we have so many different themes and topics that are being explored that I think that just this entire festival will be a really wonderful experience for our queer communities here. But also, you know, I've said this before. I said this about No Entrance. Like I just think that, you know, even if you I don't like don't identify with those communities and you still want to experience new exciting work, like come to the Fresh Fruit Festival. Like it's just it's a really unique experience and just there's a lot of exciting, you know, new pieces that are being worked on. And so I think it's just going to be a really fun couple of weeks with a lot of, you know, really talented actors and playwrights and directors and designers.
Second part of our interview. As you know, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better. Pick your brain, if you will. And I'm so happy that you've decided to come back. We didn't scare you off the first time. You returned to us. And so I would like to pick your brain just a little bit more. I want to ask you, how is it that you came into the performing arts?
That's such a kind question. Thank you for asking that. Yeah, I mean, I actually began, I have like a music background and I began playing the saxophone and singing and all of those fun things in, I want to say like middle school. So it wasn't as early as like some of, you know, some of my friends and collaborators, but I began music and then shortly after that theater. And I was an actor primarily. So I did that for really up until the very end of undergrad. And that was during the pandemic. So I was, you know, wanting to sort of reinvigorate my love for theater and sort of taking directing classes. And then, you know, here we are a couple of years later. So it's definitely evolved into something a lot more beautiful than, you know, maybe where I was when I was just acting, but it's very like deeply intertwined with like a musical background and just having access to the arts at a young age.
Yay, we love hearing that. Also, Huge advocate, huge shout out to Arts for Younger Kids. I'm just saying, arts in public schools and whatnot, they kind of matter and testament to why, but that is wonderful. I love that journey for you. But I want to ask my favorite question once again to you, which is, what is another of your favorite theater memories?
That's a wonderful question. I am trying to think of a new one that is not the one that I said last time I was on, which I think was probably related to a production that I did in college a couple of years ago. I'm gonna say a performance that I've just has really stuck with me. One of my favorite musicals of all time, I know this is certainly not an unpopular opinion, is Hadestown. I have loved it. I've only seen it once, and that one time with the original Broadway cast was just like absolutely. I sobbed multiple times. I went by myself, which I really enjoy doing. Like, I like to be able to go and experience something just with my own company and allow myself to sob if I need to. But I was sitting next to there were like two older men on either side of me, and I just remember laughing about the fact that they did look over at me multiple times while I was having such a visceral reaction to Hadestown. But no, that performance really stuck with me and kind of, I don't know, it just kind of redefined what, maybe redefined isn't the right word. It kind of gave me a lot of inspiration for what staging and what design can look like. I've never really been much of a designer, but when you're self-producing a lot of your work, you kind of have to be. So I now have at least a better eye for those elements. So I'm excited to see it again, but just love that show and is absolutely a top show for me.
That is a wonderful memory. Wonderful memory. I love it. Thank you so much for sharing that. Well, as we wrap things up, do you have any other projects or productions coming down the pipeline that we can plug for you?
Please. So the big one right now is another one of Matt's plays, Annie Brown's fifth grade science presentation, which began as a workshop production at the University of Kentucky 3 years ago, almost to date, that is now receiving its off-Broadway premiere at Soho Playhouse as a part of their Lighthouse series. So the dates for that are April 29th, that's a Monday, May 1st, and May 4th. All evening performances. And if you really like it and you vote for it, it has the opportunity for an extension. So come on out.
I love that. Yes, shout out to Mondays. All of us can come out. That is wonderful. And that leads to my final question, which is, if our listeners would like more information about the man who killed Bigfoot or out, or you, maybe they'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so?
Yeah. So you can find more information about the guy who killed Bigfoot at freshfruitfestival.com. You can also find more information on my socials. You can find me on Instagram at my name is spelled weird here. I'm sure it'll be available in another place written down at Abby Davis. And I also have my website, which is abby-davis.com.
Wonderful. Abby, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me again. It is always such a blast to chat with you and catch up. And I'm so excited about these two works, soon to be three, spoiler alert, that we've gotten a feature of yours. And I can't wait to see what you do next. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. This has been so wonderful getting to catch up after a little bit of time and chat more theater. So yes, thank you so much again.
My guest today has been the director of two pieces that are part of the Fresh Fruit Festival, Abby Davis. The Fresh Fruit Festival is running April 22nd through May 5th at the Wild Project, and you can get your tickets and more information by visiting freshfruitfestival.com. The two pieces that Abby is directing is The Man Who Killed Bigfoot, playing April 26th and 28th, and Out, playing May 4th and May 5th. We also have some contact information for Abby, which we'll be posting on our social media posts, as well as on our episode description. But make sure you head to freshfruitfestival.com. Get your tickets now. Go on out and support these two amazing shows. Support our amazing friend and incredible director, Abby Davis. Give her a hey, girl, hey when you see her. These are two wonderful shows that are part of a fabulous festival. Once again, they are The Man Who Killed Bigfoot on April 26th and 28th, and Out on May 4th and 5th. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies, and keep talking about the theater.
In a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.